Thank you, David. Good morning. It was interesting. I was thinking about as I was preparing for this, a couple thoughts. One was I actually had another sermon written, which is not usual for me. Usually it's kind of that getting ready, kind of in the heat of the moment sometimes. But I actually prepared a sermon and then. I was actually driving, and kind of my opening slide is going to have a first part of it, but I was listening to a podcast, and it got me thinking a little bit different direction, and so I hope you'll bear with me, and these are thoughts I've had on my mind for a couple weeks. Definitely, these are areas that I think it's kind of appropriate for the season. I think about some of the sermons that I remember through the years, as I think about kind of where we're at right now, we're kind of right in between the Christmas season and the beginning of a new year. And you know, I was thinking about this morning, I was curious what songs we were going to sing this morning. Were they Christmas hymns? They were. And I would guess probably next week, you come back next Sunday, we probably won't sing Christmas hymns, right? Probably fair, because we moved into the new year. So as we're kind of... Michelle started to take down our tree, actually, and we're kind of in that transition kind of week. We stand between maybe a year that may have tested us, things that we've seen throughout the year, experiences that we've had, and a year in front of us that, you know, we may not know a lot about. I've got all kinds of plans in place, or for my job, we've got budgets in place, and we put together tactics and initiatives and all these things that we're going to try to accomplish in front of us. But frankly, all of us stand here today, and we really don't know what is in front of us. We have an idea, we have a hope, we have a direction. There's this phrase, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. And I think it's a military phrase. I like to listen to, there's a podcaster, Sean Ryan, and sometimes he'll have different military individuals. He's a former Navy SEAL guy, former CIA, in fact, a former, I think, Chillicothe, Missouri guy, and so fairly local. But it is this phrase of slow is smooth and smooth is fast. It's not about being lazy, right? It's not about dragging our feet. Sometimes we have a hard time making decisions. Human nature is, we have a hard time making a decision sometimes. But this idea, again, it's about learning that when we slow down, when we become intentional, when our hearts are anchored instead of anxious. How many people have ever done a cold plunge? All right, so what happens when you do a cold plunge? What happens to your heart rate? Skyrockets, right? I was with our brother Brandon Tarbell. Michelle and Tara and I, we were at a deal, and Brandon and I were challenging each other. We were going to jump in this freezing pool of water, and then you would go and you'd jump in a sauna really hot, and then you'd come back, and we were like two little kids kind of challenging each other. But what happens to your heart when you drop into that cold plunge? Do you start thinking clearer? Anybody take a cold shower? Do you enjoy a cold shower? Absolutely not. What happens, right? Your rational ability to think, or your ability to think rational, really starts to change fast, right? But slow becomes smooth, right? As we slow down, slow becomes steady, you know, and steady in the hands of God, and in the hands of God, becomes strong, right? My message is not about a celebration. We just went through a season. I'm going to read a scripture that talks about the season that we just came through, but I really want to focus on one area that it kind of leads into in my message. My message today is about hope. My message today is about strength, right? My message isn't about, you know, this just rushing through life and doing things without pause and thinking. Stand steady in uncertainty. And so I want to start with the miracle comes, you know, really the birth of Christ, the miracle, the experience, the season that we just went through. So after Bethlehem came Nazareth, and after the angels came, you know, was these quiet years of preparation. So I want to read. Turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. And I'm going to read the 9th through the 19th verse. So Luke 2, 9 through 19. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How many of you ever paid attention to that one verse, right? We think about the story of Christ's birth. We think about this experience of what happened when Christ was born, everything going around. We think of the shepherds. We think of the wise men. We think of the gifts. We think of all these things. But how many of you have ever paid attention to that 19th verse? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I'm kind of imagining and recognize I took notes and kind of reading through my notes here as I go, but I want you to pause and just kind of think about that verse. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So what happened after the birth of Christ? I promise I'm really not a TikToker, but I guess I'm a TikToker. I get on TikTok every once in a while, and I scan through some of these stupid little videos. And there's this one of Mary and Joseph, kind of a modern-day Mary and Joseph, walking to Bethlehem for the birth of Christ. And you think about all this that leads up to it, but I'm imagining in my mind, what happens afterwards? What happens after the birth of Christ? Where did Mary and Joseph go? They went home. What happens at home? I have a brand new grandbaby, right? My grandbaby is 6 months-ish, almost 6 months, right? And I know it's not like perfect sleepless, you know, sleeping nights, and I know it's not perfect of, you know, just letting the baby wander and do. What happened at this point? Christ was born, they go back home. Right? Mary had a responsibility. Mary's responsibility, right? It's from this point of probably diapers or something to that effect, right? Probably meals to make, trips to the well, years of just ordinary days, period of time that no angel, no shepherds, no star, just faith and obedience, right? What was Mary's purpose? She was to shepherd. She was to raise this young boy into a man. She was to help do her role and do her part, just showing up one day after another, trusting that God was still doing exactly what he had promised. Right? And it's, you know, again, think about this verse. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the point that I want you to take away from this, or I'd hope you would take away from this, is this is the call to all of us, really. It's you know, it's that we live in a time, not in the mountain of miracles. We live in a time, our daily lives is just steady ground of faithfulness. We live in this steady ground of faithfulness. We live in this time, in our homes, in our classrooms, late nights when we get down on our knees and that we pray. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. We pray for whatever those things that are going on in our lives. Steady faithfulness, steady walk, right? It's not the everyday miracles that happen. Yes, there are amazing things, but our walk is daily in following after Christ, following in faithfulness, because God's greatest work often formed not in those dramatic moments, but those moments of quietness, Right? And the point I want to try to drive at is preparedness, that responsibility that we have to prepare through simple, faithful steps. I want to read 1 Nephi, the second chapter, and I'm just going to read three verses, the 66th through the 69th. And we all know this. This is Lehi's vision, and it's the rod of iron. It says, "And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught a hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree." In the 69th verse, it says, they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, right? It wasn't about speed. It wasn't about clarity. It wasn't about strength. How many of you have ever seen the example at camp? We did it several years where we had this example where we set up a rope course and you went out and you were blindfolded and you held a hold of the rope. Anybody ever do that before? Raise your hand if you ever did that. Raise your hand. Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. Did you ever see anybody fall off that rod of iron? Yeah, I remember the example was, the one that really stood out to me was Kerry Geyer was doing the exercise with us. Curtis was on the rope, hanging onto the rope, and Kerry's voice came up to Curtis in this sweet mom voice, "Hey, Curtis, come with me, I'm gonna help you." And Curtis fell off, and it was just that. It was that realization in my mind, right? That example of, you know, the rod itself doesn't remove the mist, right? In the example, we were blindfolded, or anybody that goes through that experience was blindfolded. The rod of iron is that guide and that direction. And I want you to look at the example I have up, and I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna read Psalms 119. So really quickly, Psalms 119, 105, and it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, and a light unto my path." And I have this idea in my mind, and somebody was talking about, do you use ChatGPT for your sermon? Yes, I use ChatGPT in creating these pictures, right? And I have this vision in my mind, is this lighted path in front of me, right? And you know, in simple terms, if you take a lantern and you're walking, if you hold a lantern up and it's super dark, what happens? If you hold the lantern up, what happens? You're blinded by the light, right? And it's hard to see in front of you. But if you're holding the lantern down and it's lighting a path in front of you, is it lighting the entire view and the entire path that you're going? No, right? It's exactly what I need, exactly at that time. And I think about that in this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. Right? In this picture that I see is, it's not every step in front of me that's lit up. It's probably a few steps behind me and a few steps in front of me. That lighting of that path, you know, and I think about this lamp and walking really just shows, not again, not the entire path. I am a control person. I want to control things. I want to be in charge of things. I want to think five steps, six steps ahead so that I can try to avoid pitfalls in my professional life, right? Those are the things that I'm constantly looking out for, trying to say, all right, what are those challenges in front of us? If we make this decision, I remember our brother Joel Yates, he did a sermon one time and he talked about for every action, there's a reaction, right? If I take a ball and I throw a ball on the ground, what happens to the ball? It's not a trick question. It goes up. What happens to the ball when it hits the ground? If we could show it in slow motion, it flattens and it goes up. Right? So for every action, there's a reaction. And I'm trying to think in my mind, for every action that we're taking, for every decision we make, for everything that we do in our life, there is a reaction. Right? And so in our walk, you know, hope isn't knowing everything ahead. Hope is having faith. Clearly, there is a faith that God is walking with me. I may not know exactly the path in front of me. And I would tell you that's the point of what I'm trying to get at here today, right? We've come through an amazing season. We've come through an amazing time. We've come through a year that maybe we look back and we say the year 2025 was a good year. 2025 was a challenging year. 2025 was a year that, you know, I'd like to forget as quickly as possible. 2026 is that opportunity in front of us that we may not know, we clearly may not know, right? If God showed us every turn, if he showed us every valley, if he showed us every delay, right? I don't know that we could handle it. I don't know that we can truly comprehend, right? I don't know that we can truly have faith if we knew every step in front of us, right? I like to believe that in myself, I'd like to believe that I truly can trust God at every turn, and maybe not knowing where that turn may be, right? For every action, there's a reaction. For every action of following God and trusting God is that reaction of having that faith and knowing that he is control, knowing that he is that lamp and that step in front of us, knowing that he's giving us enough light to forgive, he's given us enough light to pray, he's given us enough light to stay faithful, he's given us enough light to take that next step. Right? To have that faith. You know, the world will tell us, you know, just go figure it out. But the scripture says, walk with me, right? And you can see that. Walk with me in that lighted path and understanding. I want to shift gears and I want to go into a different idea. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time in reading out of Daniel now. And I want to kind of talk about stories we know, experiences we know, but I think really apply to the point that I want to try to share today. And I want to tell the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I also want to touch on the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, it's kind of like the story of Mary, right? In the scripture that I read there in the beginning where it talks about, you know, she held in, what did I say? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, right? It wasn't shouting out to everybody, and it's kind of the same story as we think about Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And it's early decisions that they made, early exercises, right? Early exercise of faith, early exercise of committing to following after Christ. So Daniel, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the first through the 17th verse. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Espenus, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hendiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king, right? So understand the story of what's happening is ultimately Daniel is saying, I'm not going to partake of the meat. I'm not going to partake of the wine. And I'm asking you to not force me with this, right? And so, and the eunuch, the prince of the eunuch, he's saying, you know, I'm fearing for my own life in this. If I don't force you to do this, I'm in trouble myself. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, and he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than of the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding of the vision of the dreams. You know, I thought about these verses, and as I was thinking about this phrase, right, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, right, and this idea in my mind was, as I started thinking about these verses in Daniel, specifically Daniel in the lion's den, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I went in and I just started reading all of Daniel again, and as a reading, you know, I thought about this, you know, really this chapter, I thought about these verses in Daniel, the first chapter, and what is the purpose of Daniel, the first chapter? Now, I can tell you there are a lot smarter people that can probably tell you exactly the purpose of that verse, but the interpretation in my mind, the reason why this stood out to me was ultimately this idea of this preparedness, right? The point that I want to get to is ultimately to jump ahead. Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel didn't just start praying the minute that he was dropped into the lion's den, did he? No. Right? We know of multiple examples that Daniel, and we're going to read it, right? He had full purpose in his heart. He was very thoughtful in what he was doing, right? He was dropped in that lion's den, and that wasn't the first time that he faced God. I remember as a kid, I used to think about, you know, I don't have to worry about my spiritual walk until I get older, or I don't have to worry about those things in my own spiritual life until I reach a point that I'm older, closer to death, closer to my old age, right? And a foolish thought, right? But ultimately, that responsibility that we have, preparedness, is slow and smooth, right? Just like dropping into this freezing tank of water. And people do it for their health. People do it for all these reasons of making ourselves clarity of heart, clarity of mind, this inner strength within us, right? And I think the Lord is calling us, right? He's calling us to practice our faith. He's calling us to practice our prayerful life, to practice our faithful walk today, right? Not waiting for that time that we face that challenge, not waiting for that time that that amazing miracle happens and I can look back and now I can change my life, but it's slow and steady every single day, right? The 8th verse in the first chapter says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, right? This purposed is really kind of the key word there to me. In his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, therefore requested, right? We know what happens. He requested not to defile himself, right? Purposed, responsible, committed, ready for that walk that we face day in and day out. I still don't know what's going to happen in 2026. I can plan for everything I want to, right? My goal right now is I want to retire in 5 years-ish, I think. Right? A lot of things can happen. Healthcare can change, all these things, right? Investments may not happen, right? Whatever it may be, I can plan for, but I probably am not going to know until I get closer to that point, right? But my intention is that I'm planning every day, planning, anticipating, hoping, right? I get jealous of all my aunts and uncles, right? They're all retired. Right? But that walk that we have today is what prepares us for that walk that we have tomorrow. So, fast forward, Daniel, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to touch on the 10th verse, and then I'm going to go back, and I want to read the majority of the chapter there. So the 10th verse, it talks about, and this is what I really want to pay attention to, in Daniel, the 6th chapter, it says, the 10th verse, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Right? That key word, as he did aforetime. Right? Now, we're going to read the chapter and we're going to understand what happens. Many of you know this because you've read it multiple times, but you understand this wasn't the first time that Daniel faced this challenge. So starting at the first verse in the sixth chapter, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign in writing that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Right? So this goes on and it goes on. And what happened? Right? So Daniel was being set up by his peers. Does that happen in real life? Maybe. Is there jealousy? Is there a period where, Kevin, he's so much better at me than everything, right? And I get jealous, and jealousy comes into our lives. These experience comes into our lives, and what happens? And we start to stumble, and we start to fall. Now, I'm not judging the men or the princes of the eunuchs, the men that were there, but we know what's happening, right? Daniel had taken a stand. And he had said that he was not going to bow to any image. He was not going to bow to anything. It continues on, and it says in the 21st verse, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths." Right? So this is fast forward. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And what happened in the lion's den? This isn't a trick question, right? This is group participation. What happened to the lions? They ignored him, right? This example that stands out, Daniel thrown in the lion's den. How many of you would be scared to death to be thrown in a lion's den? Yeah, absolutely, right? Absolutely. You think about, right? It's multiple fears, right? Maybe my dad, super scared of cats, right? Talk about scared of cats. Big cats. Right, and the point that it's driving at is this Daniel thrown in the lion's den wasn't the first time that he had faced a challenge. Right, each one of us need exercise, and each one of us need to exercise that faith that we have, to exercise that prayerful walk that we have. I was reminded, right, of I think about some of the sermons. I remember my Uncle Frank preached a sermon one time at the East Local, and it was on this Sunday, right before the new year, and it says, "Are you ready?" Right, and it was kind of a reflection back of the year behind you and a preparation for the years that is in front of us. Right? And each one of us, right? I mean, I want to encourage us in our walk that we have to strengthen our walk with Christ. It takes study, it takes time. I was having a conversation with an individual not too long ago, and as I was talking to this individual and an individual that I love, that I know very well, and this individual really challenging me in my own walk, really challenging me in my belief, right? And this idea, and as I walked away from this experience, and as I reflect on it multiple times, thinking about, you know, how much I need to study myself, how much I need to strengthen my walk. You know, this emphasis that I remember my dad and I were having a talk and not too long ago, and he reminded me of an experience that our brother Buzz had. And our brother Buzz, I probably won't remember it exactly, but he was in Africa, and he was going up to a large group of people, if I'm saying this right, and just started getting asked questions that he wasn't prepared for. Is that right? And he said that he remembered just the Holy Spirit coming over him and giving him the words to say. And My hope is in my walk that I have that Holy Spirit that is strengthens to me, right? Daniel talks about in the 22nd verse, my God has sent his angel to protect him around him, right? But it's I can't always count on or know that that's going to be there, right? That responsibility that I have to prepare myself, to prepare my walk. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Sometimes God rescues us out of our trials. Sometimes he rescues us through them. Right? This idea that Daniel didn't panic. Right? I remember I used to be afraid of dogs. I had a paper route as a kid. And I remember multiple times Kyle Temple and I, or Greg Brickhouse and I, getting just chased by dogs. And there's this phrase, what do they tell you to do when you're around a dog that's coming after you? What do they tell you? Don't show fear. How easy is that? Super simple, right? Right? You're telling yourself in your mind, don't show fear. Right? But the idea is ultimately that we don't, you know, that we prepare ourselves ahead of time. So I want to dive into the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm not going to read the full story. I'm just going to read a portion of the verses. It's the third chapter. And encourage you to go back and read the first to the 25th verse. But ultimately, just in the interest of time, Roger told me I can't go over an hour. I want to be kind of just think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Chapter 1, we read about them, right? Three young men, servants of God, and men that were in this time of Daniel. And what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What were they told to do? When the music played, when the harp played, whatever it may be, they were told to bow down to this idol, right? And that if anybody that didn't bow down to this idol, they would be cast into this fire. So this idea, right, this idea of the fire, in fact, I think it says in Daniel that the men who threw them in the fire were burnt because of how hot the fire was. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're cast into the fire, and what happens to them? Nothing, right? And what do they see? When the king looks in and he sees the fire burning, he looks in, and how many people did he see? Four people walking about, right? And you know, if you just kind of focus on the 17th and the 18th verse, if it so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. So this is being said before they're cast in the fire. If it so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not... Right? Think about this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Right? He said, you know, kind of mature faith says, God can, God may, God is still God if he doesn't. Right? Think about that phrase. God can, God may, God is still God if he doesn't. Not to get too personal, but And if I get emotional, it's not intentional, right? But my mom's going in for a heart cath on Monday. And the last time my mom went in for a heart cath, she had a heart attack on the table. And she was about my age. Mid-50s, right? I'm going to be 55 next week. And so, and I remember my mom saying, right, you know, what a perfect place to have a heart attack is on the table with the doctors working on you and saving. But, you know, my mom has had this fear, I'm not putting my mom on the spot, but just afraid of, not afraid of the experience, just the unknown, right? And so as I, Michelle and I go back and forth to Pennsylvania, Michelle went with my mom and Michelle and my brother and my dad, and they went with my mom, and Michelle called me after the doctor's appointment and said, you know, your mom's gonna go in for a heart cath. And I can tell you, I don't know what's going to happen, right? I can stand here today and I truly don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you, I just had this overwhelming confidence, right? This peace. Now, what that means is, I don't know, right? My Aunt Michelle, I was talking to my Aunt Michelle last week, and And my Aunt Michelle said, it'll be good for her. I agree. And there's nothing to be concerned about. I agree, right? She needs this, right? This full confidence that the Lord has us, right? As we seek the Lord in administration, as we seek the Lord in our lives, as we seek the Lord in our walk, right? It doesn't mean that I can just show up to church, I can walk up front, and I can be a minister to, and boom, it's gone, right? This idea, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, but if it not be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up, right? This idea of is, I trust that the Lord is going to protect me. I don't know if he is or not, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they were thrown in the fire, they didn't know that they were going to walk out or not. But they had full faith and full confidence that the Lord had them, right? And it says in the 25th verse, it says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They went in bound, they walked out free. No smell of smoke, right? In the 27th verse, and the princes and the governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. They survived the trial. They weren't defined by it, right? No burns, no scars, not even the smell of smoke, right? But that's more than survival. It's absolute redemption, right? Because sometimes we come through seasons of hardship and we carry them with us. We carry this cynicism. We carry this bitterness. We carry the fear, right? We carry fear within our heart and our walk and the things that we do. I don't want to be around big dogs because they scare me. So I'm going to stay home and I'm going to lock myself into my room and I'm confident that no big dogs are going to get me. Or I make the choice that I'm going to take the step. I remember young in my career, and we'd talk about, you know, as young people, we'd be talking about things in business that we really had no idea and understanding, but we'd say, talk about the five steps that it takes to do something, right? And it hit me one day as I was doing this presentation in front of a large group, and I said, really, there's a sixth step, right? I've got to take a step. Right, in our faithfulness, in our walk, right? I've got to do my exercise, that I'm down on my knees, that I'm praying, right? That I'm seeking the Lord when I have an affliction, when my children have an affliction, that I'm bringing them before the Lord and raising them up before him, right? I'm not holding on to the injury that happened or the accident that happened or that, you know, Kevin hit me one time when we were little kids, right? He was bullying me all the time, not really, right? But I'm not going to hang on to that cynicism, right? I've got to let that go. God showed us something in this story, right? He's not only able to bring us through the fire, he's able to bring us without the fire naming us, right? Without this idea, is what the enemy intends to do is to just have this, hang on to this anger, hang on to this cynicism. Yes, they walked in the furnace. Yes, it was real. And yes, it was terrifying. But they walked out something stronger than smoke. They walked out with a testimony, right? This deep conviction, this trust in the Lord. So I want to kind of wrap it up with this, and I'm going to read. I actually have the story of David, and I want to touch on, but I'm going to save that. I want to keep going, and ultimately I want to just read. I want to close with Ephesians, the 41st chapter, and I want to read the 9th and the 10th verse. And it says, so this is kind of as we step into the new year, and again, we may not see it clearly, we may not feel strong, but we know where we hold, right? Isaiah, the 41st chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Right, this idea, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And so this is really kind of where I want to kind of tie it in, right, is ultimately this idea, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, this idea that when we slow our hearts before God, right, when we take the time to offer our prayers, when we take the time to just take that step of faith, bringing our loved ones before the Lord, right, encouraging them, right, a steady faith over time changes everything. We stand at the edge of a new year, right? This idea that kind of, I want to summarize kind of the different areas that I touched on. Mary teaches us, after the miracle, there comes a life of faithful obedience, right? It's not just the Christmas story. It's not just the experience of the wise men being there, right? But it's what happened afterwards. The strength and the faith that she drew on to continue to do that role and responsibility that God had called her to do. Lehi's vision teaches us in the darkness, right? We don't need more speed, right? We need something solid to cling to, the rod of iron to hang on to it. Psalms 119 reminds us that God doesn't light the whole highway. He lights every step that we need in front of us, right? And it continues on. Daniel in the lion's den, we understand that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we understand that story. But ultimately, right, it just kind of always kind of just boils down to my thought here, right? We don't panic. We don't rush, right? We don't demand that God explain everything to us in front of us. We hold fast. We cling to his word. We anchor our prayers. We commit our decisions, right? This idea that the path ahead may be unclear, but when we're exercising our faith, when we're holding firm to that rod of iron, the path is sure, the word is true, and God is faithful. Thank you.